Just going to recite the blessing before reading the half Torah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher bakar ben ve'im tovim, ve'ratza ve'divrechem, chanei emorim be'emetz. Baruch atah Adonai habocher batorah uv Moshe avdo, uv Israel amo, uvenve ha'emet vatzadech amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Adonai, who chooses the Torah and Moses, God's servant, and Israel, God's people, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Amen.
From the book of Hosea, chapter 14, verse 2. Return, Israel, to Adonai your God, for your guilt has made you stumble. Take words with you and return to Adonai. Say to him, forgive all guilt and accept what is good. We will pay instead of bulls the offering of our lips. Ashur will not save us. We will not ride on horses. We will no longer call what we made with our hands our God. For it is only in you that the fatherless can find mercy. I will heal their disloyalty. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from him. I will be like dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily and strike roots like the Lavanon. His branches will spread out. His beauty will be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like the Lavanon. Again, they will live in his shade and rise and raise grain. They will blossom like a vine, and its aroma will be like the wine of the Lavanon. Ephraim will say, "What have I to do any more with idols?" And I answer and affirm him. I am like a fresh green cypress tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Let the wise understand these things, and let the discerning know them. For the ways of Adonai are straight, and the righteous walk in them. But in them sinners stumble. God, who is like you,
this is Micah 7:18.
Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God, who is a God like you, pardoning the sin and overlooking the crimes of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in grace. He will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our inequities. You will throw all their sins into the depth of the sea. You will show truth to Yaakov and grace to Abraham, as you have sworn to our ancestors since the days of long ago.
Thank you. Now the blessing after reading the half Torah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, tzor kol haolamim, Tzadik bechol chaderot, chael chaneiman chaomer veyose, chamdeber umakiyim, shekol deverav emet vetzadik. Neiman ata hu Adonai Eloheinu, ve neemanim devarecha, ve devarecha midevarecha achor lo yashuv recham. Ki amelik neem. Eman ve rachamam ata. Baruch ata Adonai chael chaneiman bechol devarav. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the faithful God who says and does, speaks and fulfills all of whose words are true. Faithful are you, Adonai, our God, and faithful are your words. Not one of your words turns back unfulfilled. For you, O God, are a faithful and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Adonai, the God who is faithful in all his works. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Frank. We've been doing the Haftorah portions a lot, and typically the Haftorah portion is done as the last thing in the synagogue before, or it's the last teaching in the synagogue. And that's what the term Haftorah means. It means last or ending with or the final. Some people think it means half of the Torah or some different things you may look and see. So we've been doing more of these lately, and we'll continue to do more of them. As I'm looking for this information in my computer here, I got a question for you. So when was it famous for the Haftorah to be read, and why? Yeshua read it, but what was the whole, where did the Haftorah even come from? That on Shabbat, the readings were done of the prophets. Where did it even come from? Well, yeah, it's connected to Hanukkah. So when the children of Israel were under persecution and they were told not to read Torah or they'd be killed. This is in the land, by the way. So in the land, they were told to not read Torah, they'd be killed. And so they came up with the dreidel. That was a game to pretend they were doing something when they're actually studying. It was a cover for them studying Torah. But what they did, the rabbis decided, you know what, since we're going to follow the laws of the land, we can't publicly teach Torah, we'll find chapters from that week's Torah portion that are related within the writings of the prophets, and we'll read them instead. So in effect, we're studying Torah because we're studying what the prophets wrote, basically studying Torah. So that's what they decided to do, and they did that for years. And so they went after that, they go to Babylon, they come back, they rebuild the temple. This continues to go on through Messiah, through the disciples, and it became part of what has done every Shabbat in synagogues all over the world. So that being said, this is going to be shorter. If you have any thoughts, let me know. Today's portion, the Haftorah, again, it's always connected to what's going on in the Torah portion. Today's a special Shabbat because today is Shabbat Shuvu. When we talk about, Rabbi Shapira, his whole ministry is Ahavat Ami, for the love of my people. But his website, if you go to shuvu.tv, that's another one of his websites. So what does Shuvu mean? It means return, right? So we talk about this word since the beginning of Elul, this word Teshuvah. Can you see Shuv in that Teshuvah? So what is Teshuvah? So it's to return and to repent. So this idea in English we get is the idea of repenting. What does that mean? Oh God, I'm sorry, but I'm not really going to change anything. Or, we talked about this whole idea of, Therese was the example, wrecking my car intentionally and just saying, your car's wrecked. Oh well. I even asked God to forgive me, but she didn't make it right with me. So I have to release her to God. Whatever she does, I have got to release her. But at the same time, she comes to the holy days and she knows, man, back in January, she wrecked my car intentionally and she has not done what's right. And she goes to God and says, And you see the scripture where Yeshua says, if you bring an offering to the temple and you have aught with your brother, you need to go to him and make that right, or I won't even receive your offering and accept it. Whether or not you bring it to the priest and lie about it, because if your conscience isn't clear of something you've done, then it's incumbent upon you to do what you can do. So we go through this stuff a lot. We talk about it a lot. And you've heard me bring up the idea. I'm always trying to give you ammunition, if you will, when you're dealing with, in particular with Christians who don't know any better, who've never been taught anything about Judaism, Messianic Judaism, none of that, so you can help them along, right? So you have people who say, I'm forgiven because of Jesus, and that's it. Well, I don't need all those holidays. Or they'll say, well, I can repent any time of the year, anywhere. Is that true? Yeah. But how many of you know when God puts a special time and he says this is the time for it, a designated time for this, that it's special for that? And if you don't recognize that, please talk to God during this time and recognize that, because you're not going to offend me or bother me. You're deluding yourself, and you may as well, and this is, we're not online, but a lot of people listen to this. You may as well just stay with a Christian understanding, because once you get to a point of understanding biblically, and when I say biblically, I mean including the teachings of the rabbis, because they had the authority to make the law that was the abiding within the temple, the synagogues, by Yeshua, by the disciples, et cetera, et cetera. Then you're responsible for it. So I'm often careful about what I even tell people, because you know what? They're not going to receive it, so why even say it? Because then they're responsible for it. And so you kind of get this whole casting your pearls before swine and really putting them in a position and leaving them in a worse position than they were before you talked to them. All of that being said, we've made it to the Shabbat today. Shabbat Teshuvah, return. Return, repent, change your ways, change your attitude, change your mindset. Take what the Lord is showing you today and run with it. And recognize what you had up until today. Okay, wonderful. That was enough to get me here today, but you know, I drove from Bakersfield to Fresno. I had enough gas to make it to Fresno, but okay, it was great I had that gas, but guess what? I filled up with gas again today. So now I've got some new gas to run on. You can't run on yesterday's gas. Shabbat Teshuvah, the Shabbat of return. Again, the word Teshuvah, it means to return, to repent, but it also means to be restored. How many of you know when you're in a relationship with someone, you know, my car was wrecked, and then finally the person comes and says, hey, you know what? What I did was wrong. I'm sorry. What can I do to make it up to you? Can I pay to restore the damage I've caused in the relationship, in the vehicle? What can I do to bring restoration? That's all part of this. And it's a big part of it. It's not just a little part of it. It's not this, oh, I'm sorry. You ever has somebody apologize to you like that? I'm sorry. I'm not seeing any sign of any change. Yeshua said, bring forth worthy of repentance. And don't even begin to say, we've got Abraham as my father. It doesn't matter. I got Abraham as my father. I can do whatever I want to do. I don't have to. No, don't even say that. Come to God and bring forth fruit, an offering showing that you're making atonement, a public declaration of remorse to show me that what you're saying is true. That's the biblical way of doing it. You know, men, we do something wrong. The classic way, you know, men can come home, they did something wrong with their tail tucked between their legs, and they bring their wives a bouquet of what? Flowers. Why? Is the flower your apology? No, but it's fruit showing that you're demonstrating some public act or some that you're really sorry. It's with that. It's another layer of the onion. You know, you're crying. Well, crying when you're apologizing to someone, that shows another layer. A soft voice, I'm sorry. Body language, all of these things shows layers. And the thing about it is you can go to God. We can all go to him. I apologize. Oh. And he sees right in our hearts, and our hearts aren't like that. Physically, we're like this. Oh. But inside, we're like this. And that's the part that he sees. And that's the part we can fool people with it. We can't fool him with it. So this word teshuvah is a very important word. Again, this is the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's the Shabbat within the 10 days of awe. The 10 days of saying, wow, Lord, you're so powerful. It's the Shabbat within a special time of year. Can we say, oh, wow, Lord, you're so powerful and wonderful any time of year? Can we do it from any place? But how many of you know it's a called upon time to do it now? How many of you know it would be even more potentially more special and meaningful if we did it in Jerusalem? Or if we did it in front of the Kotel, the Wailing Wall, where you have thousands of men there and women repenting? There are levels to this. It's not just cut and dried, one thing and that's it, and I'm done. It's not that. So we get to today's Haftorah portion, Hosea chapter 14. Return, O Israel, to the Lord, for you have stumbled in your iniquity. We just read they were leaving the land, in the Torah portion, going to the land, and Moshe's telling them, you guys are going to be evil and do some things. Now you have the prophet. Later on, you have Hosea coming and saying, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you've stumbled in your iniquity. They're in the land of Judah. They're already on the other side. And some of the commentaries, some of the things the rabbis discussed here, they said, return, O Israel, you who are in the land of Judah, lest what happens to Samaria happens to you. If you don't return what's happening to the people around you, the nations who don't even have a covenant, don't even know what Teshuvah is, you're going to be just like them. I'm going to have to treat you just like I treat them. Hallelujah. This can be compared to a king against whom a province rebelled. The king sent a general and commanded him to destroy it. That general was an expert and deliberate. He said to them, take for yourselves. The general says, I will do to you as I've done to such and such a province and its allies, and to such and such a prefecture and its allies. Therefore, it says, Samaria shall be accounted guilty. And then scripture says, return, O Israel, as it's found in what has been written in Numbers 25:1. And Israel abode in Shittim. You can read back there and you can see these different times. How many times have we heard God telling Israel, repent, return, repent, return? And we've seen the things that have happened. So, too many, was it too many? I know. Yeah, I can raise my hand for that too. There's an understanding that says, this is taught in the name of Rabbi Meyer. And here's what it says. It says, return, O Israel, while he is still Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is connected to the divine attribute of mercy. When you see his name or what he is called spelled different ways, it's there for a reason, because it's describing a certain aspect of him. So he's saying return while he was still operating in his divine attribute of mercy. Otherwise, he is Elohe. When you refer to him as that, what are you saying? He's being referred to as his divine attribute of justice. So before the defense, the one who's defending you becomes the one who is bringing judgment upon you. Before the defense becomes the prosecution, in other words, return before the one who is waiting to defend you turns into the one who is there to bring judgment upon you. And we see this idea, this understanding in the Brit Hadashah, Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. Whenever we're in the Brit Hadashah, we read something and we say, okay. Always say, what does that mean and where does it come from? Because we know it didn't originate there. We know it originated further back. Revelation 2, 21, and I gave her space to repent. What does that mean? That means there's a time. There's a designated time where you come to repent, and if you don't, you can lose that window of opportunity for certain things. Scary. Not something to be trifled with. For you have stumbled in your iniquity. Obstacles have come to you because of your iniquity. We talk about life and death and cursings and blessings, and we see that obstacles come because of your iniquity, you're not keeping Torah, all of those things. And we remember the idea, we keep talking about choosing obedience and receiving a blessing. Choose disobedience, and in this case, it may cause a stumbling block to come before you. Verse 3 says, take words with yourselves and return to the Lord. say, you shall forgive all iniquity and teach us the good way, and let us render for bulls the offering of our lips. He says here, Scripture says, he shall forgive all iniquity. But when does he do it? When he's asked, right? When he is asked to do it. And teach us the good way. Another explanation of this is said to be connected to Psalms chapter 17, verse 2. The few good deeds in our hands, take in your hand and judge us accordingly. And so does David say, let my sentence come forth from you. Before your eyes, behold the right. Another explanation, and accept good and accept confession from us, as it is said in Psalms 92, 2, it is good to confess to the Lord. All of these things have a foundation. They're not just said for the sake of saying them. In verse 4, he continues, Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any longer our gods. To the work of our hands for in you, by whom the orphan is granted mercy. Israel is still, and this people in general, know to trust God, but still for some reason wants to flee back to trusting in idols and trusting in. What a crazy thought. As we were talking about earlier about the things going on in the world right now, it just seems like some things are just, I mean, they're snowballing so fast that can they be stopped? What would it take to stop them?
Teshuva,
right. We're back to this again. And we talked about this idea of when Messiah comes back. Well, that's based on what happens. How bad will the tribulation be? It's based on how much repentance there is, how much merit is brought to the house of Israel. We talk about this idea over and over and over and over again. But we, at the same time, this is why you see at the same time congregations with just a handful of people. It's like, it seems like in a lot of ways we're like the people who are with Lot and the angel and the family, just stuck in the middle of just absolute Sodom and Gomorrah, literally and figuratively. And just a few who made it out. And what you were talking about earlier, you know, this is a good time to say, Lord, help me through this, because what's coming is coming. And some things we're going to have to walk through. And we have to walk through together, hopefully. Because it's hard enough to walk through them together than to walk alone in them. But so I say the same thing to us. Repent, come back, make teshuvah, return. And look what the promise that he says here, verse 6, I will be like dew to Israel. They shall blossom like a rose, and it shall strike its roots in Lebanon. And the commentary talks about the idea that it shall strike, like the dew shall strike its roots and cause them to prosper. Like the Lebanon or Lebanon, like the roots of the trees of Lebanon, which are large and prosperous and provided for. This is a season now where it seems like we've transitioned from the good old days prior to the pandemic to really what feels like somewhere in the tribulation, or at very least in times of tribulation. Americans were really famous for saying concerning times of tribulation, oh, we don't have to go through that because we're America. We're so good. But then you have Christian groups all over the world at the same time who are being martyred and decapitated and shot. Christian groups that they were supporting and recognized they were Christians like us, but we don't have to go. We're so much better than. And then COVID hit. And a lot of people I haven't heard from because they don't know what to say, because they've taught a message of, oh, we're not going to have to go through anything. We're different. We're just going to, okay. I'm not here to tell you something for the sake of me being right and you being wrong. I'm just telling you what it says. This stuff is coming, and it affects Israel. This is why we bring house to the, or do things to bring marriage to the house of Israel. So hopefully things won't be as bad. Messiah will come back sooner. And what happens to Israel, we're just an extension here of that. It starts there. It, like a ripple, it comes out to us. Verse 7, it says, its branches shall go forth, and its beauty shall be like the olive tree, and its fragrance like Lebanon. Its branches shall go forth is said to talk about the sons and daughters shall increase. One of the great blessings God gives is family, but in particular, children. And it shall be their beauty shall be like the beauty of the menorah of the temple, and the fragrance like the fragrance of the incense, like the temple. If anybody has any thoughts or comments as we go through, just please. Those who dwelt, this is verse 8, those who dwelt in the shade shall return, and they shall revive like corn and blossom like the vine. Its fragrance shall be like the wine of Lebanon. Concerning those who dwelt in its shade shall return, those who already dwelt in the shade of Lebanon, to which he compared Israel and the temple, and now were exiled from therefrom, shall return to it. Its fragrance shall be like the wine of Lebanon. In Targum Yonatan, it says, like the remembrance of the blast of the trumpets over the old wine poured for the libations in the temple, the connected with the temple, the offerings there, but also the offerings of the holy days offerings. For they would blow the trumpets over the libations when the Levites would recite the song. In verse 9, what more do I need the images? I will answer him and I will look upon him. I am like a leafy cypress tree. For me, your fruit is found. You know, when you read these things, they're kind of cryptic, for lack of a better. And there's a lot of study and understanding and discussions that the rabbis had about what exactly is this referring to. One of them here says, Ephraim will say, what more do I need to follow, or why do I need to follow these images? And they will turn away from idolatry. Basically, there's coming a day where they're going to see, you know, they've gone back to following idols and worshiping, and they're going to finally see, what do I need this stuff for when I can turn to the true God, the one true God? Why? Because they've made teshuvah, right? They've turned back. It says, I will answer him for his trouble, and I will look upon him. I will look upon his affliction. I am like a leafy cypress tree. I will bend down for him to hold his hand on me, as the leafy cypress which is bent down to the ground, which man holds of its branches, i.e. I will be accessible to him. When they repent, I'll be accessible to them. They'll have access to me. When they don't repent, they're not going to have the access to me. We've been talking about the month of Elul, that the king is in the field, this idea that the king has come down from his palace to be amongst his people in whatever state they're in. He's come. He's made the step to them. And then once you get to this time, the time of repentance, the 10 days of awe, is when we're supposed to not just recognize the king is in the field, but go to him. It's our turn to act and go to him and say, King, I'm sorry. Complicated, but you get it. The times that we're in. And he will reach down just like the cypress tree bent over to reach to us, that we can actually grab him by his branch or his hand, figuratively. And they will also recognize, it says, from me your fruit is found. That they haven't done anything without him. They hadn't repented for so long, and they were thinking by what we've done that we have what we have. And they recognize, no, everything that is done, everything as good as happened in my life is because of you, and they recognize it. Verse 10 says, who is wise and will understand these, discerning and will know them? For the ways of the Lord are straight, and the righteous shall walk in them, and the rebellious shall stumble on them. So who is wise and will understand these? Who among you is wise and will ponder to put his heart to all these and return to me? They're the ones who are wise, the ones who return. And the rebellious shall stumble on them. Because of them, because they did not walk in them, they'll stumble. But there's a third group here that's not mentioned. Who's the third group? The indifferent. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I can be kind of in the middle. You know, I'm not too bad, but I won't do. And that's the worst place to be. It's better you say, I'm not going to do it at all. And just, you know, Lord, I'm living for me. I want nothing to do. I'm just going to do it. Okay, fine. People will understand that God even understands that. The best place we could be is the ones who were diligent to do the good works, especially during this time. And it's like the 98% are right in the middle. That's it. And that's where the warning is. Don't stay in the middle. Choose to be hot or cold, but don't be in the middle. Not because this doesn't happen because you have faith and because God is so graceful. No, this happens because you decide what you're going to do with what he's instructed to do. When the rabbis of Israel were instructed, when the priests of Israel were instructed to do certain things, how many of you know when you hear Torah and it tells us we ought to do this, 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 and this, how many of you, God has sent a specific life plan for each day where he tells you exactly what to do, when to do it, who to talk to, what to say, all of these things? Nobody. Who's in charge of that? See, this is not God's not in charge of that. You're in charge of it. Everybody he's given responsibility over their own lives. Some he's given responsibility over the lives of 10 or 100 or 1,000 or more. So we can't even look at this and say, well, you know, you believe the rabbis or you don't. That's up to you. But the fact of the matter is that he said to do certain things and they were the ones who did it. And Yeshua went along with it. Yeshua didn't come against them or change that. And the fact of the matter, he hasn't told me to do for you the things that he's told you to do for you. The mitzvot, the deeds that he's told you to do, if you don't do them, they won't get done. And you won't have anybody to say, oh, well, you know, I didn't do it because, you know, God, this is for you to do. You don't tell men to do anything. You do everything, and we just sit around waiting for grace. We don't do that. And if you believe that, I'm telling you to repent and turn from that belief, or you will be sorry. You will have a whole list of things he told you to do presented before you when you get to heaven that you didn't do. You have to give account. Why don't you do it? And you won't say, well, you know, Rabbi Brent never said anything to me about anything. No. Or Pastor such and such, or my dad or my mom or my husband or my wife or my kid. No, he won't say anything. Yeah, but I told you to, and you knew I told you to. See, this is the season that we're in, recognizing these things. Yom Kippur this week, we will join with, Tuesday, we'll join with the House of Israel and recite together the Kol Nidre for vows that have been taken by the house of Israel. I was talking to somebody on the phone last night. We have a custom, another good way to use custom, that's understandable, of talking on Shabbat, just as I finish up a few, just as we enter Shabbat. And it wasn't 2 seconds after I told, we discussed this idea of what's a net or what's a vow. Well, a vow is if I tell you, hey, I'm going to meet you, let's meet together at lunch tomorrow at noon, and I show up at 12:01. Then I've broken my vow. That's a very little, minor, insignificant thing. To which I say, hey, sorry I'm late. You know, no big deal. We recognize that's no big deal, right? But that's what a vow is. I said I'm going to do something, and I didn't live up to it. You know, I tell you I'm going to show up at 1, I show up at 1. Well, that's seemingly breaking the vow even worse, right? So I said, hey, you know what? Let me call you back in 5 minutes. I'm going to get something to eat, and I'll call you right back. So 5 minutes passed. I didn't call him back. Then 10 minutes, I said, man, we were just talking about this a minute ago. Just that quick, I made a vow, and I broke it. And so we came back, we discussed that. Sorry about that, I should have. But we make vows all the time that we don't do. The house of Israel makes vows that they don't do. So Tuesday, we'll come together and we'll go through the Kol Nidre, renouncing the vows that have been made, that have been broken, asking God basically for a fresh start in the year. That we end this season of the Chagim, the end of the year. And notice that this is done on Yom Kippur. It's not done on Rosh Hashanah. So now you're already into the 10 days into the new year before you renounce the vows of last year, because these things overlap. They're not always like this. One ends, no, that one ends, one starts. No, it's all together. There's an overlapping that happens. We've got to get out of the mentality of always seeing things from a Western mindset that says a beginning and an end, and a middle, and we can't get out. God doesn't see things like that. He sees the end from the beginning and everything at the same time. That's how we need to look at it. Amen? Any thoughts, questions, comments? If not, I'm almost done here. Again, verse 10, who is wise and will understand these, discerning and will know them? Who's wise to understand these? You better be wise and understand. And you better be discerning so that you'll know them. You can no longer say, I'm ignorant, I don't know. No one's ever taught me. Nobody's ever told me anything. How do we look at people just in the natural who come off as, oh, nobody told me, I don't know. You know, and you're 50 years old and you don't know something that a five-year-old knows. How do we look at that just in the natural? How do we look at that? Well, you know, I wasn't even going there, but that's fine. So that's intentional, okay? So we can look at it as, I'm not even looking at intentional. I'm giving everyone the benefit of the doubt that they just don't know. They just don't know. They've never been trained. My father and mother, they never taught me that. We can look at them a couple ways. Like, wow, that's pitiful. You don't know that. Wow, I'm sorry, your mom and dad, you weren't trained. They didn't teach you that. A lot of different, any other ways you can look at it, you can think about? Yeah.
I tend to say, wow, where have you been?
Where have you been? Have you been hiding under a rock? I didn't know there was COVID. I never knew such a thing. I've never heard of COVID. What's COVID? Where have you been? Yeah. Well, yeah, you're not moving. You're not looking out your window. But really, go ahead.
It's kind of hard, because, I mean, that's the natural thing.
Yes.
Lately, I'm thinking about Generation Y.
Well,
and
yeah.
Millennials.
From your perspective.
From
see?
My perspective.
Yeah.
And what I'm feeling for them is pity.
Compassion.
Like,
yeah.
When Yeshua said to the father, and mm-hmm. the same thing about Stephen.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
both said, forgive them, Father, they know
not what
they
do.
Do.
Right.
And when I read this in the past, it was always like, yeah, right. But it's like,
yeah.
Now, it's like, truly,
yeah.
These children and
yeah.
adults that are millennials. Generation truly don't know what they're doing.
They don't.
They don't. And
yeah.
that's where we need to be.
Yeah.
Instead of,
where we are. Well, so it comes back as who is wise and will understand, discerning, and will know them? Well, if you don't know, because you've never been taught, and you're 50 and you don't know some things that a five-year-old knows, whose fault is it? You can cast the blame all over the place. That really, that's not the question at this point, or the statement. But the idea is that you know them now. So what do you do once you know them? So for somebody who's 50 and doesn't know something of a five-year-old, you look at it differently than someone who's 50 but knows that, but is acting like he doesn't even know. Who is wise and who will understand these things, discerning and will know them? For the ways of the Lord are straight, and the righteous shall walk in them, and the rebellious shall stumble on them. If you know them, then be wise. Be discerning concerning them. Make your way straight in the Lord and be righteous and walk in them. Halacha, the walk. Walk in them. And the rebellious one shall stumble on them. The ignorant one shall stumble on them too. The 50-year-olds who don't know this thing that the 5-year-olds do shall stumble, just like the 5-year-old who doesn't know it either. And we can look at the generations, be the younger generations, and have pity, have anger, have compassion, all of these things. But it all boils down, who is he's asking? Who is wise and will understand these? So now that you're wise and you understand them, then you're supposed to even be excel at demonstrating them and walking them out. See, that's the problem. But are we? This is the problem. This is where it comes down to each individual. It comes to us as a community. It comes to us as being grafted into the house of Israel. What are we going to do with it? May we be discerning and wise and righteous, walk in these things, not rebellious and stumble like others do. A question they have written here, and who is wise and will understand these? Who among you is wise and will ponder to put his heart to all these things and return to me and make teshuvah today? And the rebellious shall stumble in them because of them, because they didn't walk in them. The second portion of the Haftarah today is from Micah, Micha, chapter 7. And it starts off, who is a God like you, or who is like God? You know, we see this word, we've talked about this for Micah, Micha, is the word, the first words in Mikhael, Michael, Micha, who is like, and then El, God, one who is like God, one who is like God. And we get this, you know, there's a lot of written in Judaism, in Messianic Judaism, and discussions that it's Yeshua who is actually the Archangel Michael. Because it says one who's like God, Michael. Who's the one who's like God? Yeshua. So Micah chapter 7, who is a God like you, talking to God? Who forgives iniquity and passes over transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Who's he talking about? Israel. Who's the one who forgives the iniquity and passes over the transgression of his remnant people, his heritage, his people of heritage, Israel? He's the one who forgives the iniquity of Israel. He does not maintain his anger forever, for he desires loving kindness. All of these things that we just talked about in the Torah portion, when they were going to get into the land and do these things that Moses knew they were going to do and said, God's not angry with them forever. And his desire still for them is loving kindness. Verse 19, he shall return and grant us compassion. Adonai shall return. We talked earlier like him reaching down like a branch from the tree, reaching down to his people to grab a hold of him and have access to him again. He shall return. But when does he return? When they return to him. You see this connection? God, don't, please, 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 please. Don't let anybody tell you, give the idea that they're waiting on God to do something when you know good and well that he's waiting on them to do something. And you have an opportunity to talk to him and say, hey, he's waiting on you. This is that thing I was telling you about. Read it when you get a chance. I'll show it to you. He shall return and grant us compassion. He shall hide our iniquities. Remember we're clothed, we're talking about being clothed in Yeshua? With the hidden things, the things that other people don't need to see hidden. And he shall cast into the depths of the sea all their sins. Well, what is this? Who's this talking to? He's talking to Israel, right? Does it say he will do this? He's only going to hide their iniquities and cast their iniquities into the depths of the sea if they do anything? What's this based on? It's based on his promise to them, not based on their actions or lack of. Based on his promise to them. I know good fathers with bad kids. I have some family members who've had really good fathers and parents. And even growing up, I'd say, man, I wish I could. Wow. You know, in some ways, there were some things that they had I never had. And not to say anything bad about my parents or upbringing, not saying that. But they had some things that as a kid, I was like, whoa, man, I can't believe they have these things. We don't have anything like that. And they're bad kids. And they don't appreciate God, don't appreciate the things that their parents did. They've gotten worse. The blessings they didn't pass on from their parents, to them it's gotten worse. Their parents were a lot more godly than they were. I mean, markedly. I mean, their parents would be rolling over in their graves if they knew and saw some of the things that, and do it in public, publicly. You know, Facebook is a great way to really see. You know, they tell you a few things, and this is like the new one now. Facebook, you really see what people are all about. Your checkbook, this has, you know, been said for years, your checkbook will show you what people, who people love, what they like, what they spend their money on. And Facebook will tell you what's important to them and what they think is. They just put it all out there. I mean, this is why I intentionally rarely post anything on Facebook, rarely, because there's so much nonsense and drama and just a bunch of. Verse 20 says, you shall give truth of Jacob, the loving kindness of Abraham, which you swore to our forefathers from the days of yore. I believe this is from Targum Yonatan, but if it's not, then someone can correct me. So Yonatan paraphrases, you shall give the truth of Jacob to his sons, as you swore to him in Bethel, the loving kindness of Abraham to his seed after him, as you swore to him between the parts. You shall remember for us the binding of Isaac, etc. Give us the truth that you promised Jacob. Cause to come your word that you promised Jacob. Genesis 28:15. For I will not forsake thee. This is the scripture. It's talking back about the promises that God made to them. And the last part I have here, the loving kindness of Abraham. The reward for loving kindness of Abraham, out of which he commanded his sons to keep the way of the Lord, to perform righteousness and justice. Therefore, it does not say, and the loving kindness, but the loving, and the loving kindness, but the loving kindness. Very specific in Hebrew, it says. This specific loving kindness that was given, let's see, I lost my spot here. Oh, yeah. The loving kindness of Abraham. There was something very specific about the loving kindness of Abraham that he passed on to his children. The truth that you will make come true, the promise of Jacob, that will be the payment of the reward for Abraham's loving kindness. What he did, the loving kindness of Abraham is being rewarded. The reward that he did is being given to his children. Not the other way around. Not the children. We've talked about this word zechut, or merit. The merit of the fathers is passed down to the children. Basically, the children get to benefit and be blessed by the merit of their parents. That's how it's supposed to be. But everything we read today doesn't suggest that God's people were acting that out. So in closing, this has been a lot of, I don't say negative, but harder, more serious topics today. More of a somber set of the Torah portion when Moses coming to the end, and you know he's still alive but barely, kind of thing. He's his transition is going on, and it's like where we are here. We're still in the Hagim, but really, but barely. We're like in that middle section where we've got a lot behind us, but we have a little more left to get through. And I just want to encourage us all to get through right. Amen. I want to encourage you all to be here on Tuesday. It'll be a very special, solemn service. We won't be celebrating. It's a service it's a solemn service between now and then. Continue to consider these days of awe. We're looking at God with awe and repentance and personally. And when we come together representing and being one with the whole entire house of Israel. And again, may what we do bring merit to the house of Israel that would cause Messiah to come back sooner rather than later. And may we continue, in spite of all this negative stuff we talked about, of all the stuff we see around us. And, you know, we talk about people who saw it coming, and I knew they saw it coming, and I wanted to say, you know what, where are you moving? Because I'm going to sell and get up out of here too, but I can't, because the Lord hasn't released me to do so. And we've all watched, we've lost a lot of money by staying, I'll put it to you that way. But are we going to walk in what we're called to do here? We have an opportunity and a duty and a responsibility to continue to be the light here. That's it. And as long as we can walk and respond the right way and be the ones who know and take what we know to act upon, then we continue to do so. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for this time we've had. We thank you, Lord, that we listen to the words of the prophets, O God. We consider the words of the rabbis and the sages, O God. We definitely listen to the voice of the Ruach within us, O God, showing us, bearing witness with our spirit concerning these things. Father, as we finish out this Shabbat, Shuvu, this Shabbat of return, we ask you, Lord, to reach down to us like the tree that the rabbis talked about, reaching down its branch to the people to grab a hold, to take a hold of, O God. We ask as we repent, as we turn to you individually as a congregation, we turn from things, O God, we repent of things that we know better about, O God. And even in our hearts right now, Lord, we don't have to say them out. You know the things that we're individually repenting about. And as a congregation, O God, can we do more? Can we fulfill even the greater things that you've caused us to do, Lord? We turn to you, we repent, Lord, of not doing the things as a congregation that we can do. And we ask as we are in this transition between the old year ending and the new year beginning, that we would do better and be better in 5783, O God. So we thank you, we praise you and worship you and magnify you, and we continue to believe the best of one another, Father. We continue to see the spark, the divine spark, O God, in one another that you've placed in each of us, O God. We continue, Lord, to lay a hold of and cling to our tzaddik, O God, to cling to Messiah Yeshua, Lord, the great tzaddik, our Messiah, our Savior, God. We cling to him, O God, as we walk through Torah, as we walk to Jerusalem. So we thank you for this. We thank you for your great blessing and help in everything we do. In the mighty name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray, amen and amen.